his job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. A woman done left and took all the reason I was working for. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
Okay. You may not believe this, but that's a ringtone. So if you want that for a ringtone, you can download it. That's where I got that at. But how many have ever played that song when they walked out of work or left their job? Maybe I'm too old, I don't know. But yeah, that used to be the song back when you had some problems. But, you know, it all comes back that, you know, have you ever had a bad attitude at work? And that's what we're talking about today. Our message is going to be on labor relations. Now, I'm not negotiating a contract now between the union and the establishment, you know, but what we're going to talk about is the idea of what it takes to get along and what it says in the Bible about us being a Christian and then working for somebody. I believe that sometimes what we do is not as important as how we do it in God's eyes. You know, so our attitude is very important. And, you know, as you probably have realized right now as you got older, you don't think about this when you're in school, but you spend a high percentage of your life at your job. You know, you're there, you know, sometimes 8+ hours a day, not to mention travel time. So I think it's an advantage to us as a believer to learn how to enjoy it. I know not all jobs are our favorite job, but I believe it comes back to our attitude. The passage I want to look at today is found in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 to 9. And it's talking about Paul dealing with a sensitive subject. He's talking about slaves here and their relationship with their masters. And we're going to try to transfer this a little bit over into our walk in life today. It says, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart, as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one of us does, then he'll receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. And masters, do the same thing to them and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven and there's no partiality with him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the unction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you as we deal with this subject today, Lord. I believe that, you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And Lord, we can take joy in whatever we do for you. And Lord, I thank you right now that you're stirring up the gift inside of me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, looking at this subject is kind of a sensitive thing, talking about the idea of getting along at work and what we have to do. You know, I've heard a lot of things over the years. I've heard some Christians say, oh, I'm the only Christian at work, you know, and stuff like that. Well, I say, praise God. You're a light and a witness there. I mean, that's why God put you there. But, you know, sometimes they don't have that attitude. They don't feel they have the kind of fellowship. You know, and I can understand that to some degree. But, I mean, Jesus has called us to be a light in the world. But the first point I want to look at today is the subject of slavery and freedom and how the Apostle Paul was looking at this, especially in that culture. You know, we come from a different culture than that was then. Now, slavery, I just want to say this, slavery is and was and will always be a despicable thing. You know, in my mind, I just don't understand why some people think they can own other people. Back in this time, roughly around 30 to 40% of people in the Roman Empire were slaves. And so it was a cultural norm at that day. It was just something that was baked in the climate. And then along came Jesus Christ and preaching his gospel and the gospel of the good news. And then, you know, the apostles wrote the epistles and, you know, and the things they were encouraging the local churches and things to do. So Paul had to deal with some of this difficult situation. So Paul was speaking into this. And, you know, back then it was very difficult if you were a slave. Maybe you were considered not a person sometimes and you really had no rights at all. As a matter of fact, the Roman masters could just beat you for no reason. They could just discipline you or whatever. They looked at it and they just did evil things. And then later on, though, in their culture, they started to change that, where the slaves started to have some rights. But how this happened a lot of times is Rome was a conquering empire. They would go out and they would do battle with some nation or something. And when they won the battle, they would take slaves. And then these slaves would be put into service in whatever way, shape, or form, whether house slaves, whether some of them were, you know, digging rock and doing that, making stones to build things, or some of them were agriculture, whatever the situation to be. So for us, like I say, it's really hard to get our head around, you know, that people could be treated as property, at least, you know, in my opinion. You know, it's a very terrible thing. But the sad thing is, and many of you probably know, slavery still exists today. I went to a website talking about anti-slavery, and it says that right now, 40.3 million people are slaves in the world today. And it broke it down a little bit of the demographics of what it is. It said 10 million of them are children. 24.9 million are enforced labor. 15.4 million are forced into marriages that they don't want. And then lastly, and many of us have heard this on the news, is the fact that 4.8 million are forced into sexual exploitation. You know, the sex slave trade. So for me, it's even harder to get my mind wrapped around that we live in this century and we allow these things to go on. You know, I just can't get my head around it. But Paul, back at his time, he was dealing with this, you know, very complex issue, and how he navigated around it. And I hope that, you know, you understand, you know, where I'm coming from this. But there's a difference between being free in the spirit and free in the flesh. And Paul majored on the idea of being free in the spirit. Now, in the culture today is different, but back then, if Paul would have preached the gospel saying that they had to free all the slaves, it would have probably started a war. And Christianity would have had a very rough start back then. Now, hopefully, the idea of the good news going in people's hearts, as it should, it would change their view and their mentality of what it means, you know, how precious life is and the freedoms that God has given us. As a matter of fact, he even explained it a little better in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 20 to 22. I didn't put that up on the slide, but it says, each man must remain in that condition in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? And this is, he says, don't worry about it. But if you're able to become free, rather do that. For he said, who is called the Lord's slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. So the idea of getting that relationship and trying to work in the hearts, and really that's what God wants us to see in this whole situation, dealing with this issue, but also dealing with the issue of how we approach work and what we do. You know, it's a great example for us to see the importance of the next life. You know, freedom in this life is good, it's great. But freedom in the next life is really where it's at. And that's what you and I need to focus on. And we're going to look at this because I know not everybody, you know, listen to me, probably enjoys their job or even enjoys their life. Because they just think that life isn't fair. And, you know, it is amazing. You know, we're born in this country and we're born in this kind of freedom that we have that was paid for by the blood of our patriots. But in other countries where people are born, they're born into servitude. So it's hard to get that. But so the gospel, in my opinion, God gave something for everybody. That if you're free, use that freedom to do some good. And if you're born into slavery, try to get free. But no matter what, make sure you're free in the spirit, that you're born again, because this life is short. And it's the next life that's the most important. That's how we have to look. I mean, it's hard to see the big picture of what God's doing. So Christianity was not a religion about insurrection. And so no matter what our situation is, I believe there's some form of freedom that you and I can find in Christ. Now, obedience to those who are masters over us, our boss. I mean, that's what this is going to talk about. You know, the idea of obedience and what that means. Now, we don't like that word unless we're training a dog, right? But we don't want to be obedient to somebody. And I've worked, I'm old, I'm getting older, and I've been around a lot of work situations and been around people and, different, chemistries of how people interact with each other and really how workers interact with management. So all these things kind of factor in. And so, but the idea that nobody wants to hear is the idea, the difference between an obedient attitude versus a rebellious attitude. Now, look, given a little bit about our country, I'm not dissing it, but I am going to explain something. Our country was birthed on rebellion, wasn't it? We wanted to rebel against England. Hey, I'm glad they did it. Tea and crumpets ain't for me, what I'm saying? And I don't want to talk like that. I know I talk funny enough the way it is. Could you imagine if I had, some sort of an English accent? But, the idea of that being in our culture, and we're going to get into that and unravel that a little bit. And I thank God for that. Our country has done so many great things. I mean, we're messed up a little bit in some ways. But, we do a lot of great things in this world, and we're a light to the world around us. But the idea of the difference between us having an obedient attitude and a rebellious attitude, I believe as a Christian, we need to kind of settle that, inside on how we're going to interact with those that we work with and around us and things. Here it says fear and trembling. That's how the slaves were to interact with their masters. That kind of sounds kind of bad, but really that word fear in another translation, NIV, is talking about respect. And how important it is to respect people that are in authority over us. Then it goes on to say, and we're going to break this down a little more in a minute, but I just kind of will go over a couple things in this early part of the passage. It says sincerity of the heart. So Jesus cares more about the inside than really the outside. I mean, he cares about both, but he wants to make sure our motives are good. And then the idea of we're doing it as to Christ, that's the key. This will help you win. This will help you to make a bad job into a good situation. If we can just turn this around. There was an old monk, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. I want to say Brother Andrew, but I don't think that was it. He was a monk, and his job in the monastery was washing dishes, if I remember the story correctly. I don't know about you. I'm good at cooking, not so good at cleaning. Not my wheelhouse, but I do it. Denise made fun of me when we first started dating. She come up to visit, and I gave her a glass of water. And when she poured the water in the glass, soap started bubbling out. I'm not very good at rinsing either. It was clean, but it wasn't rinsed properly. But brother, this monk, what he would do while he was washing all the dishes, and I'm sure there was quite a few of them, he just had a smile on his face. And people asked, how on earth can you smile doing this menial task? And he said, I'm doing it as unto the Lord. I'm doing it for the Lord. So if we can kind of learn to navigate through this, and I know there's bad stuff out there. Bad jobs, bad bosses, all this. But I want to get us to the place where we can be successful because we keep our attitude in check. And this will work in a lot of different areas of our life, because the point is that we're going to look at next is the idea that attitude is everything. Now, what I want us to see, the idea of attitude is everything, is that if Paul was encouraging somebody who was a slave to have a good attitude towards their master, what should you and I do towards our boss? Amen. It kind of hits home a little bit. I know I haven't been the perfect employee all the time. You know what I'm saying? And I know that sometimes you can easily get irritated if you get slighted. I mean, all these things kind of factor in. We live in a real world, and I believe if we live in a real world, we have to have real faith. We have to have faith that'll work, not just in here, but out there. To be able to, understand what it means to interact with authority. Now, in my pilgrimage through life, I have ran into several people that when they work for somebody, they have the us versus them mentality. Have you ever ran? I hope you're not that person. I mean, I don't want to step on your toes right now, but I do know a healer, amen? But we do get into the idea, it's the worker versus management. And so in that interaction, that pulling and pushing, the teeter-totter up and down, it can be a very, very difficult place to be in that kind of relationship. To me, it takes all the fun out of it. If your whole goal at work is to stick it to the man, it's going to make for a long day, a real long day. And then, you know, and I believe it's going to get us in trouble with God, which we're going to get into in a little bit here. And, you know, it's important that we get around that. Now, how I see this is that how we view our boss is how we view authority. Now, authority, now this is really heavy stuff, some of it. Nobody likes authority unless you're in authority, right? How many likes to tell people to dig a ditch versus being the one that digs a ditch? I think we all do. I mean, digging a ditch is okay. You know, I used to call that electricity 101. You know, when you learn, just dig the ditch. That's the first thing. You know, and then you get to put your pipe and your wire in. But the idea here of how we interact with authority is going to really show us, you know, remember the centurion who had the sick either child or servant? And he came to Jesus and said, hey, could you pray for my servant? Jesus said, I'll come. He said, oh, you don't have to come. Just say the word. Because I'm a man under authority. And he understood what authority means. He's under authority, but he's in authority. And he knew the power of words and what it means to be in authority. So if we learn how to understand how authority works, we're going to proceed and to grow in the kingdom of God. We're going to have more power and authority when it comes to doing the works of Jesus and coming against the devil, because we're going to have that submissive attitude to Jesus and to other people. And then whoever humbles themselves, God will exalt. But in the world we live, I've been around a lot of people who exalt themselves, and then I've watched God humble them. So it's a principle, just whichever way you want to work. And believe me, God's way is the best way. See, God established authority. Authority is not something that man came up with, but God established it because there has to be a system, there has to be a way of doing things to alleviate chaos. But in saying that, there are bad bosses. I know that. I've been around bad bosses. I've probably been a bad boss. You know, and understanding the idea of how to work with that and what God wants us to do from our part of the relationship, you know, is very important that we learn to tap into that. Now, I thought of something. It's a bummer if you're self-employed and you hate your boss, right? Has anybody ever been there? Oh, I hate myself. You know, why did I do that? You know, and you just, I don't know, one of those deals. Now, I want us to see today is that being happy at work doesn't depend on the job, but our attitude. It doesn't matter. And if we can get our head wrapped around this, then we're going to start to walk in joy. And I'll be honest, I don't know, maybe I'm just me, but I think a lot of people would agree with me. Nobody wants to be around a negative person. For the most part, unless it's another negative person. I don't know. You know, if somebody's negative, they're always complaining against the boss, they're always complaining against work, always complaining against this or that. After a while, man, you start hiding when they start walking towards you, don't you? No, we want to enjoy life. We want to be around people that lift us up and not drag us down. So if we can win this, you know, this battle that's going on inside of us, then we're going to do better. You know, we may not always have a good job, but we can always have a good attitude. I believe that. You can always have a good attitude. You know, doing a good deed with a bad attitude may get you noticed by man, but you won't be blessed by God. Because there's a passage, part of this passage talks about the blessing that comes from God. And I don't know about you, but I love it when the blessings of God chase me down. Those things that you don't really even have to go after, you're just in God's system, you're in God's way, you're walking, you know, the way that God wants you to, and you're just going through life doing the right things, and all of a sudden, bam, something just chases you down, just blesses you. That comes from seed that has been sown by you in walking in the ways of God. And if we can do that, then we start to function at a higher level, I believe, in God's anointing. You know, we need to be God-loving and God-fearing people. You know, love never fails. Being able to walk in love and, you know, like I've always said, you know, we have a lot of trouble in our culture now. You know, I'm not so scared they kick God out of school, because if you put God in your kid's heart and they go to school, God's in the school. You know what I'm saying? But I will say this, I'm always a New Testament person, but you know, having the Ten Commandments posted in the school, that'd be a good thing. Because the problem that we have in our culture, people doesn't fear God anymore. They don't really have that concept of what it means to be out of the blessings of God. And so when everybody does right in their own eyes, and then we start to see failure starting to happen as a culture. So we need to make sure that we have the good attitude. You know, in our country, God bless it, you know, we're in the United States, we're taught that we can always have a say. But that doesn't mean that we always have to say something. You know what I mean? You know, you can lip off at work or you can bite your tongue sometimes. There's times when you might need to say something and call a meeting, but I guarantee this, beyond a shadow of doubt, if you're mad and you're angry and you start to share something with the people in authority over you, it is not going to go well. You got to cool down, have a cool head, and go in and make a reasonable discussion about it. And there's a lot of wisdom in, you know, just kind of chilling out and don't act and react to something so bad. You know, I know I've been blessed many times, you know, because I kept my mouth shut. You know, there's times to say something, and I have no problem saying something, but I do know that it's important to say it at the right time. Timing's everything. Now, Paul just didn't deal with the slaves. He also dealt with the Christian masters. Now, he told the Christian bosses to be good also. Now, the idea of a boss, some of you have probably been promoted. You've been a manager before, or you've been put in a leadership position in whatever way, shape, or form. And then with that, you have, you know, people that, I don't want to say answer to you, but that's how they word it. You know, it's best if you kind of treat it like a team, and we're working on this together, and we all play our part. That goes a lot farther than, you know, the other way. But, you know, the idea of, I learned this as a kid, you know, there's a difference between a shepherd and a cattle baron. You know, a shepherd and a cattle baron. Number one, shepherds deal with sheep. Cattle baron, it's self-evident, they deal with the bovines, right? Bovines is a fancy word for cattle. Okay, so how we dealt with that. You know, the shepherd leads the sheep, right? That's what the Bible says, they lead them. But the cattle baron, we drive them. I remember as a kid, you know, we used to chase him with horses. And I would ride the horse and I would run drag. If drag, that means something different sometimes these days. But, you know, I would run drag behind the cattle and I would take the horse and we'd run back and forth, just applying a little more pressure each pass, trying to get the cattle to go through the gate. You know, sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. And I'd be there and I'd be putting a lot of pressure, and sometimes them cows, they didn't want to go. And then my grandpa, he would get a bucket and put a little corn in it, and he'd just shake the bucket a few times, and then he'd walk through the gate, and all the cattle started going. No matter how many times I went back and forth trying to push that cattle to go through that hole, they would not do it. But when they were led, they will follow. And so if you're a Christian master, I don't like to use that word in the wrong way, but that's kind of what it's used here. But if you're a boss or a manager and you have people under you, don't use your authority in a bad way to bring a taint to the witness of Jesus Christ. Because God wants us to be a light to the world. I know sometimes you have to have difficult discussions, you know, with people and to deal with things. But, you know, we don't need to push people. We want to try to lead them. You know, and how about you're in management and the boss has promoted you and you're there and all of a sudden one of the employees is a young girl and she's over there and she's just making mistake after mistake and doing this, coming in late, taking longer breaks. I mean, if be honest, if you want to tick people off, take too long a break or too long a lunch. Because I worked with a guy here in town and we could always set your clock at 10 minutes past the time when he would be there. I know what it was. He waited till 8 o'clock to leave his house, and he would get there at 8:10. And he would wait and come back from lunch, you know, after, you know, I think we took an hour lunch then, and he would wait till 1 o'clock to leave his house, and he'd always get there at 1:10. Well, that don't sound like much unless you're one of the other employees, And we've been there working for 10 minutes, and this guy comes waltzing in. So it had to be dealt with. Now, we work construction, so the wording wasn't quite as appropriate, probably as it should have been. But like if you're a manager and this girl was messing up and you're going to get up there and you're going to chew, just getting ready to chew her out. And one of your fellow employees comes up and said, hey, you know what? That's the boss's daughter. How would you treat her? Would you back down a little bit? Well, I want us to think about this if you're a Christian manager or boss. How about you understand that you're going to chew out a child of God, and their father is our Father in heaven, who might intercede on her behalf. So our interaction with people is the idea that we need to work on. Now, the last point I want to see today is the idea of that your job is also your ministry. Now, we should each be involved in some sort of ministry in and outside the church. There's a lot of opportunities we have inside the church through ushering, greeting, cleaning, Sunday school teaching, whatever the case may be. And then out in the world, we do evangelism, or we do, things in the community. And so those are things that we should be doing. But I want us to see today that our job is also part of our ministry, on how we do things. Because the Bible says, do it as unto the Lord. So to me, whatever we do as unto the Lord is a ministry. So if you're working in a factory, or you're working construction, or whatever you work, there's a lot of places out there, we need to do it. I think it was Brother Lawrence, now that I remember that monk's name. It was Brother Lawrence that did that. So we need to do it like he did, as unto the Lord. It says, not as eye service or a man pleaser. That means just when someone's watching. I was in a place one day, and they had a lot of, there's a few youth left here now, but there was a lot of youth working there. And I had a bird's eye view, because I was up on a ladder, so I could look down all the rows, and I could watch them. You could tell the ones that really cared versus the ones that didn't really care. The ones that cared, they were doing things and making it proper and really, moving from place to place, getting things done. The ones who didn't really care, they would only do something if they saw the boss coming around the corner, and then they'd try to look busy. You could tell their attitude, because they didn't do anything with excellence or nothing right. And I talked to this boss a little bit, and I talked to him. He says, man, I'm getting to the place I hate kids. I go, what? He says, yeah. They don't want to work. They don't want to do anything. Well, I said so-and-so does. They're a good worker. And I said, I noticed so-and-so else was doing a good job. He says, yeah. But a lot of them, you just can't. And then they don't show back up. So the idea there of not just doing things, when the boss is looking. Because God is always looking. So if we can get that wrapped around our head, then we're going to be better. Now, one that always bugged me a little bit is a suck-up. We're not going to go into this too far. Has anybody ever worked around a suck-up or whatever? There's other words they call them. The idea of a suck-up, they're kind of a manipulator. We don't want to be a manipulator and just kind of, I remember I first started out, I worked, I was just probably 18, 19 years old, and, I was in a different place. I had low overhead, but I worked on a job, there was an older guy there, and he would just suck up to the boss. I mean, it was pathetic. But I know he was a family man. He needed to keep the job. I didn't need the job. You know what I'm saying? I could have quit that day and still survived. I could move back with my mom and dad if I had to, that guy, but it was just pathetic. And being a manipulator, God doesn't like us to manipulate. So that's another thing we need to work on, in the job situation. Now, doing the will of God from the heart is kind of what I want to get to. Work was God's idea. We have to remember that. God told man to tend the garden. He wants us to stay busy. To me, if we do a good job, it builds self-esteem. So what that means is no matter what you're doing, if you do a good job, you can look back and see a job well done. And it builds self-esteem inside of us. And everybody needs self-esteem. You need to feel good about yourself. I don't believe just sitting around and not doing anything. I think it wears on you after a while, and just going out and doing something, no matter what it is, kids, you could clean your room, amen? The parents didn't put me up to that, but the idea of tidying things up and making it look good, You know, it just makes a better thing. And the Bible talks about when we do good, we will receive back from the Lord. And see, that's what I want to get us to. The double blessing. Now, how many likes to get a paycheck? You know, I believe we all do. We like to get that check in the mail or it's direct deposit and now however it is. But I want us to see that if we do it with a good attitude, two things happen. Number one, we get a paycheck from our boss. But number two, we'll get a blessing from the Lord. And see, that carries on. So it's like you're getting double paid. And God starts to work in our life and it gets the best of those worlds. And as we do that, you know, then things start to happen. And, you know, it's something that you just need to experience, getting into the flow of how God does things and starting to do things. And I'll be honest, you'll be blessed by your employer with the bad attitude too. I mean, with the good attitude, not with the bad attitude. And you'll start to walk in a better way. And I think kids can learn this at a young age. I mean, not everything I did. I mean, I on the farm, there's not all the jobs I loved growing up. I did them, but I didn't love them. You know, but I do know this, that my parents rewarded me when I did a good job, not when I did something shoddy and have to go back out and do it again. And I believe there's a lot of truth to that. So take pride in what you do. Now, maybe you struggle in taking pride in what you do for a living, but you can always take pride in how you do it. Maybe you don't have the primo job where everybody looks at you and they say, oh, wow, you're that? Maybe you're not excited about it. You know, maybe in culture, you're doing something that people, you know, maybe look down on. But that doesn't matter. That's their problem. If you do it as unto the Lord, you can take pride in it. And I believe that God, through the Apostle Paul here, gave dignity to every form of work there is under the sun. Right here in this passage. Because if we do it unto the Lord, it makes us equal with everybody. We all come into this place, and some of you have a lot of money, and some of you don't. But in this place, we're all equal. We're children of God. And we have that relationship with God where nobody's better than anybody else. And we can take pride in the fact that we're a child of the King. And that God has sent His Son to die on the cross for us. And so we can have that kind of relationship. And so what we do is that we take pride in how we do it for our Lord. Also, you can take pride that you're feeding your family. That's worth something. Take pride that you're paying your bills. So, closing, some key character traits I just want to reiterate. Number one, obedience. We need to be obedient. Even though it ain't right sometimes, we need to be obedient, be able to take orders, be able to follow orders. You can practice this. I mean, try this. I mean, you just watch the blessing. Number two, we need to respect. You may not respect the person, but you need to respect the office of the person that's over you. Number three, we need to be sincere. We need to operate in sincerity, not be a fake or a poser. You know, just talk nice or be a man eye pleaser, you know, when somebody's around. Number four, we need to be dependable. We need to be a dependable employee, somebody they can count on. A little secret. If you become dependable at your work, your boss is going to seek you out. Because most people can't find somebody dependable that will carry out an action, that will execute something without having to be hounded. But if you become that person, you will become indispensable to your boss. And you will be maybe the last one out the door. If there come slow times. And I've been down that road. And it does work. Number five, work from the heart. Do it as you work from the heart and enjoy what you do, take pride in it. And lastly, do it as unto the Lord. So all these things factor in. And Ben's, it's Labor Day weekend. I just wanted to share these things. You know, some things that I have learned in my life. I don't always practice them because I'm not perfect as you are, right? But I know what to do, and when I do them, they do function, and it helps me. And I believe that as a Christian, you know, God really stresses the fact of the inner work of Christ that He does in our hearts. Amen? Let's pray.